Are you ready for some meatball?
You suck, Chris.
Thanks for listening to the Meatball Composer. Glad to have you here. The Bears lost to the Saints just a few days ago, but man, that seems like forever with everything else going on in our country. Vote counting and slow vote counting. But if you're here listening to this episode, this will be a little break from election stuff for you. And we'll talk about the failing Bears. And the Bears who apparently have to deal with a couple players having tested positive for the coronavirus. So that's fun, isn't it? So Mark's going to join me and we're going to talk about what that means now for the Bears. Will they even play this week against Tennessee? We don't know. Haven't heard or read anything to say that they won't, but it's, you know, how can it not be in the back of your mind? So we'll talk about that, and then we'll talk about what happened against the Saints and the fact of the team is not moving in the direction we hoped when Nick Foles took over the offense. So I'll get into all that with Mark. Thanks again for listening, and let's do this. How you doing, Mark?
Doing pretty good, man. As good as can be expected with all the shenanigans.
There's quite a bit of shenanigans. Yeah, more than normal.
We're way over the shenanigan quota that I've established.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, let's get to the big news of the day, shall we? And, of course, I am referring to let's not talk about the election. We still don't have a president. Or we have a president, but we don't have a next.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's not get into that. Let's...
This podcast is starting slower than a Nevada election count.
Hey! Nicely done. Nicely done. All right, so COVID has made its way to
Yeah, not just a one-off. That's
really the big story today.
And I think...
Mm-hmm.
Am I crazy for thinking it sort of has an air of inevitability for every team that's in those climates, right? Like, isn't this going to happen everywhere that's cold enough already? Some of the teams in the South actually dealt with it already too, but it seems like it's getting really bad in the Midwest. And I'm not surprised at all, but it's still sad.
Yeah. Yeah. It's getting bigger and bigger here in Kansas, the heartland of America.
I mean, the country's setting records too.
But Yeah, it's not going away. And how much do you think this affects not just the Bears, but the league? We're looking at potentially freezing the league. I haven't heard anything like that or read anything, but just common sense makes me wonder, are we going to have to put the league on pause for a couple days or a couple weeks?
I
longer?
I'm no expert, right? I did stay at Holiday Inn Express. Uh-huh. No, but I think... We're about to a quarter of the league, aren't we? Aren't there like, I mean, eight would be a quarter of the league. We're not quite there, but isn't it like four or five teams right now that have a COVID issue? Not like rotation we kind of had been in where it's like, oh, there's two here and there's two there and that's okay. We'll figure it out. Now it's like, hang on. How many teams now? It's starting to make me think maybe they should.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to follow.
The Niners had a couple, and they're like, "Ah, we're gonna play on Thursday." Like, what? I think some shocking here, right? That the league might be shady, but I think there's some funny business with some of this. Like, oh, it's a 5-day thing, and look at all the guys who, oh, we started to isolate him on Monday. He's fine as long as he has his negative test, he can play because they retroactively put it to Monday when he started. You know, like I think they're playing funny business here, but I'm a little miffed that the Niners game is even happening tonight. I think the league should really consider a shutdown for a week or two, and I know that would be chaos, but do you actually think this is going to get better before it gets worse?
No, the numbers don't look like that just across the country. And we're getting into colder weather, which, you know, suggests things are going to get worse. Although we thought things would get better in the summer and they got
well,
worse
they were fine and then picked back up. So it's kind of weird. 2020's version of fine. Yes. But like we had, okay, so in the last week or two, we've had Matthew Stafford. We had a couple people on the Raiders. We had the Niners thing. We have the Bears now. We still had Patriots having some issues still, didn't we? And there was a issue, including John Elway.
A six.
Am I missing any? I think that might be it. And then if you go back further, you had the Titans, which was the big one. And the Chiefs were affected by someone with the practice squad. I mean, I know they're not all simultaneous, but it's like – it just seems inevitable that eventually every league is going to have a story involving an issue with it. And if there's too many at once, do you have to start to think about, you know, here's everybody's bye week and we'll have to figure out the schedule moving forward. It's not like fans are going to be out of tickets and upset. I think the Ravens might have had something recently, or the Colts, or somebody else in the AFC I could have sworn. I apologize. I don't know. I have my detail down on this.
No, I don't. Me neither.
It's starting to be in the news like every day, it seems like. And when is it going to just be like, you know what? We have, you know, billions is the NFL, and we'll be okay with a week off while we sort this out. But.
Yeah, or just pause the whole league for 2 weeks. I don't, you know?
Yeah.
Just push everything back 2 weeks. You don't have to change any schedules other than the dates.
And then they can hype the holy you know what out of the Thanksgiving return. I can hear it now.
You are brilliant. Yes.
And I love football, and I would hate to have nothing going on Sunday. And if the Bears don't play, I'm going to be asking you for something else to be irrationally upset about for 3.5 hours. Yeah, okay.
I'll think of something.
You got me there. So, yeah, I guess back to the Bears. They have so many O-linemen hurt, too, and or connected to COVID. It's almost comical at this point.
Might have to shift a tight end over to
and now Mitch is hurt. What if Bray is on the COVID list?
Now hold on. Do you really think Mitch is hurt?
Yes.
You do? Okay. All right. I'm not channeling conspiracy theories into the election, so I got to channel him somewhere.
Here's why I think he's hurt. He's had shoulder issues in the past. We're now on 3 straight years with right, left, right shoulder in that order, and I think. If he's just like, yeah, I don't want to play anymore, okay, buddy, you're also risking the rest of your career with the third shoulder injury. That's not the way he would do this. It would be something that doesn't look to the rest of the league like it might be chronic, right? Because if it is a big, bad shoulder injury, that's going to absolutely affect his contract. Whereas he could be like, ah, I sprained my thumb. Man, these take 8 weeks. Oh, man, this is bad. I can't throw the ball. No one would care, right? Like, this is not the injury he would, quote, choose if you want to be a conspiracy theorist about it.
Sure.
That's my take.
Okay.
I just came up with that now because I didn't think you were going to say that. So there you go. It's hot.
I want to keep you on your toes, man. That's what this is all about. Rapid fire, deep. Profound, earth-shattering,
shocking. I thought
it was
more dumb conspiracies.
No.
Here's my dumb thought for the podcast. Are you ready for my dumb thought?
Okay.
Or did you want to keep going, Mitch? I don't know. I didn't mean to cut you off there.
Well, my last Mitch thought here is, regardless, we won't see him in a Bears uniform again.
Yeah, no, he's done. Yeah, he's got to be done. Unless no one wants him, and the Bears are like, why not? Here's a, you know, very cheap backup who knows the system. That'd be crazy to imagine. I gotta think it's done as a Bear.
I doubt that.
Yeah, so you know, pour one out for the number 2 overall pick in the 2017 draft. It's just another victim of 2020.
And Bears bad draft quarterback drafts.
Okay, you ready for my brutal, dumb, bad thought? My turn.
Hit me.
Would it be a good thing for the Bears if there was, you know, not that anyone's seriously ill, but if this game doesn't happen because of COVID, of all the games on the schedule, with all the injuries?
Well, sure. Yeah,
aren't you kind of like, this wouldn't be the worst game in the world to have postponed, especially with the O-line on its, like, fourth row of the depth chart or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I read today they're bringing Eric Kush in for a tryout. Wasn't he a backup?
At one point. They're going to be bringing in people they're familiar with. Yeah, so let's go through that, right? Massey, injured knee. Ifedi, COVID protocol because he was near positive test. Whitehair, injured calf and COVID, apparently. Sam Mustafa, injured and I guess in the protocols. So Leno's the only starter for sure good to go. And then Coward's still okay, or is he in protocol?
I don't think he's...
Well, yeah, he's terrible. Barnes is going to play center for like the first time since he was 8 or something. Coward's going to go to right tackle.
Excellent.
Kyle Long is going to come back and play right guard. I don't know what's going on. I'm just saying, with all the injuries...
Bring back Kyle Long.
It might be the best game possible to have COVID postponed. As crazy as that sounds. Again, caveat being no one's actually seriously sick. But kudos to the Bears, too, for shutting it down when a lot of NFL teams seem to be like, well, it was just him. Yes. Like, I don't believe that for a second anywhere. Do you?
No, not with 50-plus guys rooms. All in close proximity.
I'm like, if I see that the guard and the center have it, I'm like, what about the D-tackle? Right? You know, like, that's the kind of thing I'm wondering. Yeah. Or backups in those spots in the practice scenario. But starters, of course, if the other team's center has it. You know, like, it's just... The NFL has tried to be pretty diligent about it, but I'm starting to be very skeptical of how much they care at this point. This game playing that being played tonight also, I think, is pretty telling.
Yeah, although if the Niners win,
They have no one who touched. They don't have a player playing tonight who touched the ball in the NFC Championship game against the Packers. They're all hurt.
Oh, my gosh. I did not know that. Holy cow.
Crazy.
Crazy.
Go Niners backups. Go Bears backups. Welcome to 2020. One last thing on this whole COVID thing. The despairs.
Like despair Bears, yeah.
Despairs. It kind of works. Is this a cautionary tale for us as far as investment in the team? I mean, I know we kind of can't help it, but like, this is definitely the worst year to be like all worked up about firing the coach or GM or caring to an absurd degree like we do. You know, like, they're going to obviously be like, 2020 was crazy. We're not making any franchise altering decisions after that. And should we all just dial back the angst during the games and realize they're not that good, and the league's kind of in a pretty bad spot now, and like, who knows, just try to have fun with it and chill out. That's what I'm gonna try to tell myself if there's a Bears game Sunday. I'll fail, but I just want to put that out there.
Yes, exactly. I was gonna say I'll try that too. I was like, I don't care about this team anymore. Even in the 3-13 year.
No, I'll watch. I'm gonna try to transition to Dan Bernstein's fun bad thing. Is maybe the other way we can phrase it.
That could work. I had some of that with Glennon.
Oh, you know, gosh, you couldn't catch a snap.
What was his other name? Oh, come on. There's a whole litany of bad Bears quarterback. Why am I blanking now? Maybe there's too many to think of. the guy who took over for Cutler a couple years ago. That doesn't narrow it down either.
Josh McCown?
Forget it. Let's just move on. No, not him. He's the greatest. Him. He's, I was like,
that's
glorious,
our Lord and Savior.
Matt Barkley. Yes. Those were fun.
Yeah, man. And it's hard to be fun bad when you still have a winning record and you have playoff hopes. But I just wanted to put it out there that's what I'm going to attempt.
When Matt Barkley was flinging 5 interceptions a game and people are saying, you know, I think he should replace Cutler as the starter. That was just fun. That was fun. Anyway. Well, should we go back to last week's game against the Saints? There's a lot of stuff we can, peel apart here and talk about.
I would say
lament and
back to the what Saints, do you, where do you want to go here attempt with whatever Saints. Analysis we can manage for the Titans if there is a game for a few minutes. The Saints game. Yeah. Oh, where to begin? I think the most
frustrating. Nick Foles sucks. Can I start there? Can I just start there? Nick Foles
He's
sucks.
Every bit as bad as Mitch.
Everybody who's
He's terrible.
Oh,
they're both terrible.
Yes.
I'm with Hogue, right? Like, I don't know how much you watch or listen to their podcast, but he was like, I'm not saying Mitch is any good, but I want them to both be evaluated to the same standard and not just that Foles gets a pass because he's the new guy or he's different. He's terrible.
Uh-huh.
He's the streakiest guy ever, it seems like. And I don't understand what the deal is. He was the guy, I wanted him out of all the available ones after Brady because Bridgewater, I thought, was going to get too much.
Which made sense.
I still don't really want that deal. But I didn't think you'd have to trade a fourth for him. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of changed it a little bit. But I thought Foles was steadier. I knew he had the whole, like, oh, when he's hot, he's crazy, like the Super Bowl MVP run and the, 29 or 27 TDs to two picks a season. And he was not as good as either of those, in all honesty. I did not know his down was this down. I thought the floor, in other words, was way higher with Foles than we were getting. He was the biggest reason they lost to the Saints.
Sure.
Unless it's Chuck Pagano.
That's right.
They're my two
to
goats.
An extent, yeah. Like when I see Mac dropping into coverage, when I see Khalil Mack dropping into
because
coverage.
Because I know Mack is doing it because he knows that no one else is over there and he recognizes and reads the play. And I'm like, what can we not?
Oh, you don't think that was?
I think it's him recognizing. Well, it's both because he knows the call is doing something else, and he better do it. That's what I'm saying. But my point is, if it's the play call, that's even worse. Mac recognizing it, then that's still pretty bad. You want to finish Foles and circle back to Pagano? I know I brought that up. The interception was brutal. It came after Foles. The moronic play. I don't even want to break down John's thing. It's been done to death this week. Nobody with a brain thinks it was anything but the dumbest thing they've ever seen a Bears player do on a field, and that's a wrap. But then Foles throws a horrendous interception. Yes. He's all over the place with his accuracy. He can't move at all, which makes him a terrible fit behind this line. And worse, probably of all of it other than maybe the turnover, is he looks lost still pre-snap, which was supposed to be the big thing with Foles being better at the niche.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Did you see Matt Nagy make that comment about reading a wristband?
I still love Nagy during the week. He drives me nuts half the time on Sundays, but that was some funny stuff. He was brutally honest.
Was that not him calling out
firing back?
Yeah.
I don't know if he was like, I'll get you back exactly. But like, he had the greasy thing on Monday Night Football, which was Foles kind of throwing Nagy under the bus. I'm pretty sure Greasy broke a journalistic kind of rule there. For sure.
Yes, he did. I agree.
To him. And then Nagy now kind of like getting his dig in at Foles. But, he's like, I don't know. I mean, we're reading an NFL wristband. I don't love that. I don't know what that's about. Like, he seemed to think that was one reason why it was delayed. And then Foles been like, I love the wristband. I believe in the wristband. It's just like, only football. Football is in its own little dumb universe. Like, can you imagine having something like that in our line of work and it somehow – I don't even know how it would even become controversial, but you would say that line like, I believe in the laser pointer. I love the laser pointer. And like, this is so, that's the most football thing I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
As far as like how much it's in its own little bubble, right? It's like the Baptists, but football. Oh, shot fired.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Whoa!
So they,
I can't edit things out midstream.
the wristband thing is so funny. And I don't know who I side with there, but the real story here, let's not bury it, is the QB and the coach are not on the same page. They have not gotten along like we were promised.
Nope.
And there is very little progress on that front. Now, the offense did hit some big plays, and the run game was much better. That was progress, but Nagy Foles doesn't look any tighter, more well-tuned than Nagy Trubisky did. And that's...
No, it doesn't. Not more yards,
but definitely not more points. More interceptions.
Oh, I didn't realize. Okay.
I guess a better completion percentage, but I got to think more sacks. So, I mean, It's just he's not delivering what was promised.
Oh, well, if bad sex, if not more sex, if not more sex, definitely worse sex. Taking sex at the worst time. There, I think there was a 3rd and 9 in the fourth quarter that Foles had a lane. If he was Mitch, Mitch would have ran and gotten the first down. Foles looked like he wanted to run it, but then realized, oh, I can't run. And then, like, turned around and went backwards.
Oh, man, that's
been ended up brutal. Getting
he
sacked.
Ran for the that play ticked me off. That was actually worse than the interception in terms of, like, how did you manage to do this? Not, like, necessarily overall impact, but really bad there, too. I guess what gets me, too, the coaching thing we just broke down, we're back to another quarterback where it's like, ah, it's good Nick, bad Nick. I thought he was steadier than that. And can we get to the, like, Foles is on fire game then? Because all I've got is the fourth quarter against Atlanta. Yeah, so
which he came off the bench for.
Take him out, run one play. He's hurt. Bring in Foles. We'll have the good Foles. I mean, the Bears still can't get this position right, and they cannot be taken seriously nationally until they do. And I know fans get upset when, there are some guys who always pick against the Bears, and I don't like them either. But I can't fault the general blahness people view the Bears with because it's a QB league and they never have one. All right, defense. Talk defense.
Yeah.
And already. Okay, we'll get there. Go
yeah, sure. I was going to say that.
All right.
No, let's do it.
I'm doing like defense. Goats, yeah, you know, so like Foles and now Pagano. And I am absolutely miffed at two things from Pagano. Number one, what was that at the end of the first half? Playing off ball, off ball, off ball, 3rd and 12. Nagy calls a timeout, which is the right call because your defense is good and you're supposed to get that ball back, which is funny because he didn't have the confidence the other week with the punt return thing. Well, that was 10 Gidd too, I guess. But still, that's the right call, but your defensive coordinator plays back, gives up 11 yards. Of course, the Saints are going for it on 4th and 1. That was terrible. That whole drive was terrible. It was the wimpiest play calling imaginable. And this is point two, which blurs together with point one because that drive definitely involved this, but the whole game also involved it. Drew Brees can't throw the ball over 10 yards. Why are we not in press man the whole time? Because the defense
you're fired
is the
up,
way
my
this
friend.
Team can win. They can't have the defensive coach screw up the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm done. That was pretty brutal. No, you're absolutely spot on with that. I thought the same thing. Like, what are they doing?
If those receivers hurt and Drew Brees' age and his arm strength, and now they're talking about his shoulder too, by the way, down here. He's got to beat me deep twice before I bother to back off. And one last little thing. Can we just put Roquan Smith on the next back we play as good as Kamara as a pass catcher? Like, why is Roquan just not shadowing him? He's having an amazing year. Absolutely living up to the draft pick.
Yeah.
He's playing at an all-pro level.
Yes, he is.
He's flying around the field. He's your best chance to stop Kamara. He's your best chance to stop Dalvin Cook. Mm-hmm. Why don't we put the players in the situations that make sense per the opponent? It's so frustrating because that's what great coaches do. And we just don't see that. And it doesn't seem that difficult to me, at least with the defense. I know at the O, they got so many issues. But the talent's there on D that the Bears should be able to do that.
Yeah. And why not getting in Breeze's face like they did with Brady? I didn't understand that. It seemed like they weren't providing any pressure or any kind of surprise blitzes or anything like that. And I'm not saying blitz all
like
the time.
I thought he was playing 2009 Drew Brees. Like, that was just driving me nuts the whole game. And that's a fact, too.
But even still, the way you stop any quarterback
they,
is
getting in
his face.
Line's better than Tampa's at the moment. That's probably true. They have a good O-line. But, this whole rely on the front four thing isn't going to work consistently. You got to blitz some. Also, Danny Trevathan had a good game. So we blew the game
he
with
did.
Trevathan looking
yeah, that
like
was
himself
nice to
again.
See.
Hopefully that's continuing. And we blew the game where the offense finally hit some big plays and ran the ball effectively. That pretty concerning in the big picture because you're probably not going to be able to do at least the offensive stuff every week.
And what is that? What if the Bears, just to go back to the offense for a second, what if the Bears linemen, what if their backups are better than their starters? Because it sure seemed like the line.
Yeah.
So
I was
you were thinking
messaging
that,
a couple friends and one of them was like,
I mean,
you're spoiling the podcast. And I'm like, yes, I am. He's like, you got to make this point, though. Because I joked with him, you know, like, so the Bears line is hurt and they have to play a different line. This might be an improvement. And we all had a good laugh about it. But younger and more athletic is really on the table here. If they know where they're going, they might be better.
They looked better. Mustafar looked fine at center. I mean, he even looked good.
Well, yeah. That's another coaching thing. If that were to play out that way, then the story would be, can they just not evaluate anyone? What is the deal? That's already
– Well, I think that's already on the table. But, I mean, how long did it take to get rid of Ted Ginn Jr.? How long did it take to realize, maybe Mooney should be on the field more? I heard that Ted Ginn
Jr. invented a new position, punt observer. I think that was Bernstein. Nice. Somebody said that on the radio or a podcast. And, I can't remember.
Demetrius
Harris. You mean Incompetrius? Why was
he still on the field?
Okay, yeah, I
remember. Yes, Incompetrius.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yes. They make weird decisions on personnel, and then it takes them forever to make a switch, except for quarterback, because he was waiting to put Fold in, but.
Renneria had a quick clip. That quick, he'd still have a job. No. Kmet doesn't look like he's getting open enough. That's probably part of the issue, but Harris is just terrible. The new guy is coward. The new, like, why are you playing but in that Kmet position is coward. The more he spun around on the stunt and blocked no one, marvelous. No, I don't believe that there's a ritual where spinning around will stop a stunt, but that's about all he was going for.
Hmm.
So yeah, the Saints game was frustrating. One last thing on that, at least for me. And the defense is good, and they have a chance to be as good as the 18 defense in a lot of ways. Maybe not run defense, but they are better on some categories, as we talked about a week ago or whatever, or two. Eddie Jackson normally catches that interception. And Roquan had a pick six, maybe.
Yeah.
Tough cut. I mean, that ball got there quick, and the guy did get a hand in there. And so I'm not blaming either, especially Roquan. But, man, they make those either of those in overtime, both of them, right? And it's a different game, and they win probably.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is so close, but they're just not quite impacting the game like we need them to, which is not necessarily their fault, but it is the reality we're in, obviously.
And I think I said this last week, that's really the difference between the 2020 Bears and the 2018 Bears is the turnovers and the scoring.
And it still can, regress back to the mean some here, as people have been talking, like Hub pointed out, that some of that will come because it's right there. They're just not quite getting it. Or like when Mac forced the fumble and it just sat there for a second. You know, they are flying around. Yeah. They do play hard. Mm-hmm. Those things are still true of the leadership and the coaching in broad picture, but man, some of the details are just a mess. And again, game planning, the defense just can't be that bad of a game plan. It'd be like going to the Titans game and being like, we're going to drop into nickel the whole game and we're not worried about the run, right? Like that would be the Titans. So there's our segue to the Titans.
Exactly. Yeah, and I don't see how the Bears can win this game because of the Titans rushing offense and the Bears rushing defense. I see no way the Bears can win this game.
Yeah, it would have to be one of those turnovers games where the other quarterback, they somehow bottled the run up enough that the other quarterback just, crapped the bed. And then you add the Bears injuries up front on their own offense, and you just are left thinking, no way, right? I mean, there's got to be an optimist somewhere, but I don't think I know anybody in my circle of friends who loves the Bears who thinks this is anything but a terrible matchup. And that was before the injuries and the COVID thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's even worse now.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this, their defense stinks this year. They got like no pass rush and their secondary is one of the worst in the league. Boom. So if there's any time at all to throw, the Bears could have some chances there, but man, these guys are such an unknown quantity on the offensive line.
Yeah, we don't even know who might all be playing or not still on the offensive line. Sam
Mustafer. It was so funny today. Max
Rex. What did he say? Max Rustafer.
I love Danny. Oh, was great.
I love Danny.
He just said it with such confidence twice.
Beautiful.
In an interview. That was just perfect. But as much as it's fun to pick on that, and he's, of course, a good sport about it, but it does belie the point that even, you know, professional media, they don't actually know who these guys are any more than the rest of us until they, you know, have to do the homework because they're suddenly playing. Nobody knows anything about these guys except for Alex Barrs because of the Notre Dame thing, I guess.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, how about you want to do a pick for the Titans game?
Can't if pick we're assuming no game. That it goes on. Okay. I'll pick Tennessee. I'll say the defense puts in yeoman's work and holds them to 20, but still Henry does get his TD late like he always does, and the Bears can only muster up behind the Mustafer less offensive line 6 points.
Whoa,
wow, I gave him two drives. Maybe one of them was set up by the defense. Or the new punt observer. Maybe he'll be fumble, good. Yeah. He was okay against the Saints.
Yeah, he caught one and fell forward. That
he did
was
not
nice.
Allow it to be down.
I admired
five.
That. That
was weird.
Yeah.
I didn't think you could do that.
I'm going to go Titans 24
13,
Bears.
But I was
13.
Like, he's going to say 13. I'm going to make it even worse. I want to put the bar so low. Yeah.
Am I predictable?
That I'll be pleasantly surprised if they score a single touchdown. Tell me I'm being unfair.
Yeah.
Not with the injuries. Reason.
Nope. You are not. Even if there were no injuries, this team can't
they had
score.
A good game. We've been calling it their best offensive game and big plays and all this all week, right? And they scored 23 points.
It was excruciatingly painful to score 23 last week. It was like, anyway. Well, thanks, man, for joining as always. And maybe next time we talk, we'll. Well, if they play and the Bears win, maybe and it's you know
if
something
win,
exciting.
We absolutely
to talk
are
about,
doing a
post game
because if they manage to win with all this going on, they will deserve that much from us. And I'll have a nice steaming pile of Crotty.
Sounds good. Yeah.
All right.
Go Bears. Nice. All right. Take care, my.
That's going to do it for this episode of the Meatball Composer. Thanks for listening. And thanks again, Mark, for joining, as always, to discuss the state of the Bears, which has been pointing down rather steeply lately. But they're still 5-3. If you had told me the Bears would be 5-3 after the first 8 weeks, I would have been like, hey, all right, not too bad. But having gone through it, it kind of puts a different perspective, as you know, so... Thanks again for listening. Take care out there. Be nice to other people. We need to, in our relationships, our families, our friends, our communities, we have to do the hard work ourselves of taking care of people, loving people, and giving people the benefit of the doubt. So that's what's going to make our country a little more friendly and better off in the long run. So don't look to the top for that. We got to do it ourselves in our the situations we are in. So that's my little two cents there. Sleep well, have a good work day, and talk to you next time on the Meatball Composer.
You've been meatballed.